It's 5:16. 5:16 p.m. All right. Oops. Alan is present. Adriana Casanave, not hearing you. Dr. Robert Franklin?
I'm right here.
Thank you. Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Thank you. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you. Bob Gartner? Not hearing Bob Gartner. Wally James is off. Dwayne Lark? Not hearing you.
Present.
I'm sorry? Dwayne Lark?
Good
is that Dwayne?
They're present.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Mike Lewis? Mike Lewis might be working these days. Marianne Martinez? Not hearing you. Paula Miller? Not hearing you. Susie Moreno? Not hearing you. Venicia Patel-Adams? Not hearing you. Sandra Rawline? Not hearing you. Nancy Sabarnari-Tomi?
Present.
Thank you, Nancy. Wendy Schrell? Not hearing you. Deb Shafto? Not hearing you. Markeisha Van Zandt Sampson?
Here.
Thank you. Richard Uzel? Not hearing you. Rita Washington?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Weinman?
Present.
Thank you. Ted Weisgel?
Here.
Thank you. Venicia Williams? Not hearing Venicia. Egberto Willis? Egberto Willis? Not hearing him. Mr. Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 on the call. Okay.
Hello?
We have four.
That's 10. Actually, of those 10, 8 of them are...
And we just heard Sandra, too, did we not?
I don't
Sandra?
Know.
Sandra? Who just said hello?
Susie.
Susie, thank you.
Susie Moreno. So I believe we have quorum.
Obviously, don't have quorum, and I'm at work as well, so I may be on for a few minutes. I did hear, and I think you said you were just going to talk. Obviously, you don't have the ability to make any votes because at roll call.
Well,
hang on,
Dwayne. How many people are on the call, Teresa? Teresa, how many? What's the count?
How many members are voting members are on the
there
call?
There are 21 voting members. That does not include Dr. Franklin or Markeisha Van Zandt Sampson. So there are 21. So 12 is our quorum.
And how many are on the call, Teresa?
10.
Okay. We're a couple short. Go ahead, Dwayne. Sorry.
Okay.
No, I was just pointing out that, like most people, I suppose, I am at work. I thought to get on. I wanted to hear the agenda, and if I need to forego or if a client walk in, I won't be available. But I did want to hear what the agenda was for this meeting since we've already approved the 2022 budget.
Right. Thank you. Okay.
Hello, may I say something? This is Susie.
Hang on. Go ahead, Susie. Yeah.
I'm on vacation also, and so I will be on here for a while. I also wanted to see what the agenda was, but since I'm not home, I haven't looked at it if you've already sent it.
Chair?
Yes? Could you read it for the stream?
The agenda. Approval of minutes, item 2, item 3. Business Manager's Report, Item 4, Q&A for the Business Manager's Report, Item 5, Revenue, Item 6, New Business, Item 7, Next Meeting Date, finally adjourned, Item 8. So With that, I would ask for approval of the agenda. However, there's not enough people to vote, so we're simply having a discussion, and we'll go from there. If we obtain quorum, then we consider motions, et cetera. Fair enough? Sounds like it's
yes.
Fair enough. So, Marquisha,
yes.
Why don't you go ahead and begin your report?
Okay. So, at the last, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So at the last meeting, someone asked about membership numbers, and I didn't have access to that at the time. But during the August fund drive, we did secure 84 new members. Our total membership number year to date right now today is 2,807 members. I'm not sure who asked for that, but that's that information. There were a total of 315 pledges during that drive that amounted to roughly $51,000 and some change. And to date, we have $30,925 of that paid. Okay. Cash on hand.
How much? 30,000 what?
$30,925.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay. Cash on hand right now is about $49,029.43, which is just under enough for 1 month of operating expenses. So with that said, as you know, October is always our largest pledge drive of the year, so we're looking to make this one a great success. I believe we're starting the second week in October, the second Thursday in October, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to need all hands on deck for that to kind of make that a success. But other than that, I don't really have anything else to report.
Thank you.
I can take some questions if yeah. Okay.
Can Dr. Franklin confirm that when the pledge drive starts?
October 3rd.
Sunday, October 3rd.
Sunday.
Sunday, October 3rd.
Ah, okay.
Thank you.
So, questions for Marquisha. I'll take a stack.
Ted.
Bill.
Go ahead, Ted.
Just a moment ago, Marquisha, you said we need all hands on deck. I don't know what that means. Can you please explain?
We need people to donate. I need you to pull out your checkbook or you to call on 10 of your friends. We need donations. That's what we need. So.
Any other questions?
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. Well, last month I was asking for a cash flow report, that worksheet on the budget or the whole budget. I was wondering if we could get that, especially since cash flow seems to be so critical.
No, I'll send that out. I've been having some internet issues today, but I'll send that out, Bill. I did not forget.
Okay, and it projects through the rest of the fiscal year, I guess, right, based on assumptions on revenue and expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Thank you, Marquisha. We appreciate the transparency. Doesn't sound like the needle has moved too much. Still running on empty. Okay, so it is a fund drive coming up beginning October 3rd. And as a programmer, in terms of raising money, we usually offer premiums. Historically, the last few years, we were offering tickets that were donated by the various venues around town, and that was responsible for raising probably about 40-50% of the money in total that we were getting. Those tickets are no longer there because the shows aren't there anymore, at least not to the extent they were. And even at that, the promoters and the various venues are a lot tighter when it comes to giving away tickets to anybody. So it's an option that doesn't exist for us. We have to find a new way to raise money. Last drive, I tried to Willie's Remedy Coffee in a KPFT coffee mug. It worked to some extent. Perhaps that could be expanded on. But the main reason for holding this meeting is to expand on an idea I think the Outreach Committee may be working on already. I don't know. And that is simply to collect items that we can use in coordination with on-air messaging, website messaging, to raise money for the station. What kind of items? This is where I'd like to have a discussion with this group and to see how best we can get going using the capabilities of the people on the board, the programmers, and really any other volunteers in the community that are willing to help. In this case, the more the merrier. What I had in mind, what I have seen other nonprofits do over time to raise a significant amount of money is to be able to use silent auctions and live auctions on things like vacation condo for the weekend. You may know somebody that owns a condo in Vail, for instance, and rents that out, and perhaps they can make one weekend available to KPFT listeners, providing they come up with the dollars to pledge to KPFT. Maybe you know somebody with a lot of airline miles or fly frequently and have collected miles and can donate those miles to KPFT that they can be turned into tickets, perhaps used in conjunction with that same weekend trip. So you make a package out of it. Restaurants. If you don't have the floor, put yourself on mute. Thank you. We have local businesses, professional services. Some of them may know accountants that could donate consultations, and they may attract money. So what I'd like to do is just to have an open discussion about this idea and any other ideas that we can use with our website and our broadcast capabilities during our fund drive, this one and ones to come, maybe even a continuous online store, to raise money in place of these fund drives, which are failing further and further. So I'll take us back.
Dwayne Lark.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
2 points. This point seems to be more appropriate to be in the development meeting rather than the finance meeting. Second, I heard you indicate that you didn't want Ted to go into the weeds or the minutia of Robert Rules of Order, but since this is available to the public, and since it's possible, as previous examples, that CPB, which we've not received funding for a number of violations, I just want to read into the record that it is important to pay attention to Robert Rules of Order when you don't have explicit rules governing issues and conduct and governance, and as it relates to a quorum. Robert Rules is pretty explicit. And all is not lost if you don't have a quorum, but Robert Rules lays out 4 things that you are able to do in the event. And since we're 30 minutes past the published time, it's reasonable and expected that you would do one of these 4 things and not just conduct a meeting. Because you want to conduct a meeting and forget about
right,
there are rules about conducting a meeting. The fixed time that the meeting was to occur, you can adjourn and go out and try to get people to get a quorum. You can recess to go out and call people. You can set up a committee and go out and call people. Otherwise, you just can't do a meeting because you want to do a meeting. That's the whole purpose of quorum. Now, having said that, Chair, you're going to do what you want to do, but I won't be a part of it. So I'm leaving the meeting because it is an illegal assembly.
Go ahead, sir. Leave. Okay. Dwayne's left the meeting. Now, back to our discussion. By the way, if anybody else feels the same way and wants to leave, that's your prerogative. All I'm trying to do is to come up with some creative ideas to fund the station. Evidently, Mr. Lark has a problem with funding the station. So, can I get some feedback? the idea of gathering these items and then using the website and our coordinated efforts as programmers to promote these items and gather the money.
Bill, for the second.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was going to suggest to Dr. Franklin again that have meetings with programmers. I mean, they're your biggest source of help. They're the ones that are going to have to be communicating with the listeners to ask for donations, either money or for things to be auctioned off or to be used as thank you gifts, stuff like that. And they can help you. We have people with cumulatively thousands of years of experience on our staff, and they're the ones that are why we have members. So I do encourage you to communicate with them, ask them for suggestions, how they can help with this. They may come up with other solutions that I haven't thought about. Because I've talked to a number of them who feel like they're just waiting to hear what direction we're going and what the goals are. And of course they're worried about when are we going to be getting, you know, studios back and things like that. But I think communicating with them would help a lot with, to make this fund drive more successful, and they can also help you with, you know, getting premiums or other things if we need that.
So since my name was referenced and you directed your question to me or your comment.
Yeah, right.
4 weeks into the job, thank you. We're moving toward having an operation such that we'll have a chance to talk with programmers. I think what Sandy is doing is really good. He's trying to elicit board members in terms of ways in which they can augment the programming fundraising efforts of the station. With respect to talking with programmers, that certainly is something that myself and Robin, we've been talking about. We will have a meeting shortly. Seems as though there's a big rush to have me delve into meetings with my programming staff, but I will do that. As I've said to others, that's something on the agenda. I will meet with programmers and share with them my vision, and more importantly, listen to what they have to say and make them feel a part of the operation and the outreach efforts for the membership drive. I really do appreciate, the suggestions that you are making, and I'll just say keep them coming, but I will be speaking with programmers to listen to what they have to say, but also to share with them the importance of membership, fundraising, and more importantly, their role, an integral role at the station.
Thank you, because I think they're feeling left out, and they really can't help you, so that's great. Appreciate it.
I absolutely understand what they can do and others can do as well, which goes back to what I think Sandy is saying, that yes, we have over 100-plus programmers, but we also have others in the individual board members who can also pitch in and help.
Ted, for the stack.
Thank you. That's the whole point, is that we need to go beyond the programmers, Bill. We need you. We need everybody else in this call and pick it up a little bit.
Teresa for the stack after Ted.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ted.
Dr. Franklin, I think that one of the ways to get the community involved in KPFT is through the town hall meeting. What is the status of the promotion of the town hall meeting, and what else can you tell us about it?
There's no promotion presently for the town hall meeting because we've not yet set a date, which I said that to PK that probably we'd be looking at the new year in terms of having an established town hall meeting. And once we're able to have that particular firm up, the pros and cons of setting that up and making that a workable situation, we will do so then. There's some other factors that we have to work into that, and that is COVID situation in terms of whether that's going to be in a public venue or whether or not that's going to be something that's going to be in a Zoom-type format. So there's some other factors that we can't control for right now, but right now I will say that when we do set up the meeting, it will probably, depending upon the severity of the COVID situation, we can't predict that, but I'm hoping that it might be a Zoom, if not somewhere in the public setting. Perhaps, as I said the last time, at the Shake Club, Shake Center, perhaps. But that hasn't been firmed up just yet because there are other more immediate concerns that I'm dealing with. But it's on the agenda, and I've spoken with PK about that.
Nancy on set.
Thank you. I have Teresa and then Nancy. Go ahead, Teresa.
I have lots of ideas to raise money, and I don't know whether we want to discuss buy it now items first. I would like to also talk about a challenge fund. I would like to talk about items that we could possibly offer something for a drawing for those people who pledge prior to the pledge drive. But we need to get that item right now. I've talked to Robin about this. I think Robin's overworked right now. And several times I've said things and she has to run them by Dr. Franklin. So we're just kind of in limbo on a few things. So let's put challenge fund on the agenda as item 5B, and then a drawing for early donors or early donations. Dr. Franklin, do you have any ideas from successful pledge drives that you have led?
Most of the successful pledge drives that I've been a part of, they've been all inclusive. They've not had people to stand on the sideline and direct. They've been basically individuals who, as I mentioned to Sandy a few minutes ago, on a larger scale, when the administrators, or in this instance, they could be board members, when they wanted to help to support the mission of the membership drive, they asked how could they help. One of the things that, as I mentioned to Sandy earlier, is that we suggested that they develop something called like a circle of friends, whereby they would reach out and find five of their influential friends, and then they would challenge them to make a contribution, $100, $200, and so forth, and then they would bring that and contribute that toward the membership drive. The other types of membership drive, in concert with that, have been assuming it's COVID-free, micro-events, events that were actually small in nature, perhaps maybe even almost like a theater, support having a theater to donate ticket sales from one of their some of their particular showings, live plays and a live play, where a portion of the proceeds would go back to the membership drive. Mm-hmm. We've had auctions, for example, that have been part of the membership drive. And other venues that would hold special events that would be in support of the membership drive. So it's not just getting on the air raising $100,000. It's having other entities within the community that would help us reach our particular goal by donating their services or their spaces so that whatever profits or proceeds came from those particular venues would help go toward the membership drive. So it's a collection of individuals working in the same direction but working in different venues, administrators working their particular sources or resources. Mm-hmm. They're the programmers who are doing their thing in terms of asking for the money on the air. They're the not-for-profit or the other individuals within the community, civic clubs and so forth, helping us also, Rotarians, Kiwanis clubs and so forth, who are helping all pitch in and putting in small amounts of effort to get dollars that could be contributed to the total bottom line for the membership drive.
That's your circle of friends, so that would break down to each of us going out and enlisting a few friends. The circle needs to be defined. I don't know what the definition of that is sitting here at this point. And again, soliciting contributions from those friends.
Well, we could do something like, we could say something like, each of the board members is asked to reach out to a circle of friends, and whoever, like in the next week, and whoever raises the most money can have dinner with the general manager. Something like that.
I'd go for that. That's great.
Go ahead and write that down, Therese.
Well, do you want to set a time? You want to set a time and date on it?
Just let's collect the ideas first. Just any and all ideas. Write them down.
Each board member is invited a circle of friends for donations. Top fundraiser gets dinner with Dr. Franklin, general manager. Now, does this count for staff, too?
Yes.
Counts for everybody. Yeah.
Okay, including volunteer staff and paid staff. Okay,
yes.
Each board member, staff, paid staff, or volunteer staff is invited to approach a circle of friends for donations. Top fundraiser gets dinner with Dr. Franklin. Do we want to put a date on it?
I think for now, let's just leave that without a date. Just write
okay,
that
so let's go
now.
Back. Let's go back to Buy It Now. I'd like to talk about Buy It Now. We've talked to Robin about this, and we said, Robin, can we put it on the website that we are soliciting items, or can we send out an email blast? We have no one on staff right now that is consistently sending out a communication with our listeners. Let me tell you, I see the email blasts from WBAI. I occasionally see them from KPFA or KPFK. I don't know how I got on WBAI's list. I'm just happy I'm on it because it gives me some ideas. If we don't communicate with our listeners, they don't bond with us, and they feel neglected and they fall away. Somehow, we must communicate with them. And I have suggested that in this communication with them, maybe you would like to see, Dr. Franklin, maybe you'd like to see what WBAI does. There's a little letter from the general manager, and there's usually a couple of other little stories. In that context, we could say, for example, Bob Mabry, attorney from Conroe, is willing to assist you in putting KPFT in your will. Just call this number. Bob has offered, and I've asked Robin to contact him to get specifics, because I'm sure there are some rules ethically about how he would do this. He would not be taking any money. In fact, I think he has offered to even like do the will for free, but I'm not sure. But another thing we could do is say KPFT is looking for items that you might have that is of interest and that could be auctioned off. Robin's first response was, when we do this, people send you some junk. One man's junk is another man's treasure. And she's thinking, you know, we might have to take everything out of the building. So the question is, if we do raise these things, Sandy, where do we put them? And how do we ask for them? I think it would be nice to ask our members, because somebody might have a baseball that's signed by Mickey Mantle, or, you know, they might have a guitar. In fact, I think Robin does have a guitar. I do know a friend who would offer like a weekend in San Antonio. But some of these things, and, you know, I'm sure people have various pieces of art. I know that Tom Yeager has a tribute to Ray Hill. He has Ray Hill's hat, and it's sitting on top of his prophylactic foot and partial leg. So I don't quite know what to do with that, but we've got it if we ever want to use it. I know that when Larry Winters died, he suggested that when he was in talking with Dwayne, that pictures of him with friends, that Dwayne is going to, like, take bids for them at auction and use that to pay some of the people, the musicians that will come and be performing at his celebration of life. So we can't touch that. But I think a lot of programmers might have items. The question is just how do we solicit them, and we can have people send pictures of them, but it's somewhat of a delicate issue to say, I don't want what you're offering.
Teresa, can I say something?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Who is that?
Markeisha.
Yes.
You're right. You can't say you don't want what you're offering, but most times people tend to give KPFT their trash. I'm not sure which event it was, but we had a silent auction, and a couple of people donated used power tools that they didn't want anymore, and they expected us to auction them off. So you got to kind of be specific. I would maybe put a minimum cost on it. Most places that I volunteer with, when you have to donate stuff, there's a minimum ticket, a minimum value that they would like things to be. I mean, things don't have to be thousands of dollars. I mean, you can put together groups of things, kind of like what Sandy said, with airline miles, hotel rooms, points, stuff like that. You can put stuff together to make big packages to make it worth people's while.
Ted for the stack.
Hang on. All right, Ted. Nancy, I think I heard you next.
Yes, thank you. The KPFK had their LSB meeting Sunday, and I listened in, and they're going to have a town hall meeting in a couple of weeks, and the LSB voted to recommend to their manager, Mikael Calzada, to have it live on the air. And the KPFT LSB voted a few years ago to have our town hall meeting live on the air, but we have not been able to implement it yet. And I would advise not having in-person meeting at SHAPE, not yet. It's just too, I would feel very guilty if anybody were to get sick. And also, can I say one more thing? We have not had Amy Goodman pitching for a long, long time, since we went into lockdown, since March of last year. It is possible that maybe we could think about connecting with Zoom live. I mean, we did it last Thursday for the elections candidates, and there was some problems with the sound at the beginning, and Otis got it clean, and then at the very end it started again. But it was a try, and we might be able to have her pitch. I'm sure she would not refuse. And anyway, when we have our number one show, which is Democracy Now!, we should have, instead of other things, after her show ends, we should have some card, like, you know, if you appreciate this show, and a lot of people do listen to it when they go to work, please donate. Think about donating to KPFT and KPFT.org. You can donate. I mean, if we had a card for that right after that show, that would be worthwhile, I think, to get them right then. Mm-hmm. That's all. Thank you.
Teresa for the stack.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Who's that speaking?
This is me, Dr. Franklin.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Just regarding the last point, I spoke with, connected with representatives of Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Robin Roach, four six strips that Amy Goodman will voice track those particular spots with Amy Goodman encouraging people, listeners to support KPFT and Democracy Now. They will run during the membership drive before Democracy Now, after Democracy Now, just as the lady just suggested a few seconds ago. So we're moving in that direction already. That's just basic radio, and that's what usually good radio stations do. They get their noted producers to voice tracks, fundraising scripts, and they run them either before their particular programs or after their programs or throughout the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's very good. That's encouraging.
Teresa,
okay.
Hi,
going back.
Susie for the stack.
Okay, I've got Teresa and I've got Susie. Go ahead, Teresa.
Bruce Grief, who is from New York City, WBAI, he sent me a link to an event. It was a musical event, and it was a fundraiser. I don't know whether Susan Darrow would like to do something like that. We could maybe have, let's say we have a musical patron that might want to approach a musician and say, hey, if you give a concert, I'll personally give you some money. And then people who want to attend that musical function can donate. I think we should ask Susan Darrow whether she feels that it's, whether it's worth it or not at this point to do something like that. My work has Zoom meetings, and some of the live performances that we've had with, like, Emma's Revolution and Peter Mayer have been clear as a bell, really good quality video and audio. And I don't know whether we would want to maybe sell tickets for something like that at this point, whether we have developed the skills to do something like that.
Well, we actually did something like that, and I think Susan was principal to it some time back.
That was
so,
over a year ago, so that's kind of a new thing.
Yeah. But, well, it's actually... the attendance, depending on who it is actually diminished over time, not increased on those events. So there's a bit of frustration. What we're talking about here are little items for auction, but it's another idea if you want to write it down. Any ideas, and all ideas are okay at this point.
Another idea that
Ted,
I have, I'm going to be on a book discussion with Chuck Collins. And he might be a speaker that would be of interest to people if he would like to. Maybe we could do something like that and just ask people to give donations and see what happens.
Thank you. Susie, you were next.
Yes, thank you. I have an idea, and I've been told by my community, the Latino community, that at our last fund drive, we signed up 30 to 80 new members to KPFT. And so I'm asking, what do we have to offer to these Latino community, to the listeners that we already have, to the new members that have signed up on the last fund drive? What do we have to offer them that they can reach out to 10 people that the board members and staff members that we have now can reach out to the Latino community and say, this is what KPFT is doing for you. This is what KPFT has to offer you. We are telling you that the programs that were taken off will be put in. What do we have to offer? What can I offer my community so that they can have faith and want to be part of it? And we need them. We need the funds that my community has to offer. We're not the richest people, but when we get involved and when we care, we are family-oriented. So what do y'all have? This is an idea for the next fund drive. That's what I'm saying. I would like to hear from a lot of the board members, staff members, and the GMs.
I would love to be invited to come and talk?
No. Directly? What do we have to give? What do we have to give them? Not what do you want?
No.
I want.
Okay.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, hang on. Ted, you were next.
Thank you. Dr. Franklin.
So I don't have an answer. Can I have an answer from somebody? Can somebody help me on this?
I mean, I have an answer. I'll wait until Ted goes, and then I'll respond, Susie.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm always last. Okay.
Dr. Franklin, one of the things that has been a part of fund drives in the past has been that programs that neither necessarily fulfill the mission nor perform well during fund drives are necessarily kept on the air. I am wondering what steps you are taking. I am wondering if you have considered picking up shows from other Pacifica stations and airing them and getting rid of shows that, as I said a moment ago, are not performing well. Are there any shows that you're considering dropping, and are there any programs from the network that you're considering putting on the air above and beyond what we already do with Democracy Now?
Thank you for the question. I spoke with, actually received a call today from Native Voice One, Native American, programming out of New Mexico. They offer free indigenous Native American programming, free. I've spoken with David Barsamian of Alternative Radio. I think they come out of Colorado. I've also spoke with, as recently as yesterday, with the general manager of the Los Angeles Pacifica station, asking him for suggestions of Latino programming as well as environmental programming that they may have at their station. So he is, general manager is providing me a list of those particular programming that we might look at and consider adding to the programming grid at our station.
Bill for the stack.
Bill. Let's go back to Susie's question. It deserves an answer. Anybody like to step up? My take on this, Susie, as a programmer, okay, long-time programmer. When I go on
You're
the air,
Sandy?
Yes, this is Sandy.
Are you Sandy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I go on the air and ask for donations, I'm not speaking to Latinos. I'm not speaking to anybody but those that are listening, okay? And
yes, but what can I offer my Latino community?
Well, I don't know. Who is your Latino community? Do you have a list of names? I mean, what are we talking about?
We have many, the whole community, the whole community.
Not every Latino in Houston listens to KPFT. I'm sorry.
Because we don't have a reason to. They don't have a reason to listen. They have a few programs, and that's it.
Teresa for the stack.
Hold on, Teresa. Okay, but again, when I go out and I'm doing, in this case, a music show, the audience is pretty diverse, believe it or not. And I know this from meeting a number of them, communicating with a number of them over social media. It's a pretty large and very diverse audience, and it actually includes Latinos that I can think of off the top of my head. And so I'm a little baffled by your question when you say my people, they're our people, they're our listeners. I don't think they pertain to
my people. My people would be people that I know that I can reach out to, not the whole community. Just because you're saying reach out to 10 people. So what can I give those 10 people that I know? I'm sorry, I should have said that. But those are that's what I consider my people. I don't know the whole Latino community either. But they can reach out to 10 more. So I'm sorry.
You put it in very good context. Thank you. I didn't understand your context. I do now.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Okay.
My fault.
Appreciate it. So would anybody else like to chime in on the subject?
Teresa for the stack.
I heard Nancy and I heard Bill.
Teresa?
Yeah,
hello?
Hang on. Yeah, Teresa, hold on a second. Go ahead, Teresa. All three of you have spoken before. Go ahead.
We have Juan Flores, who has a show. Maybe Juan could do an interview. And or maybe you could offer, maybe we could offer to your people that that he would take requests, for example, for songs or interviews. Or maybe we could get Juan Gonzalez, who works with Amy Goodman,
to do
a special interview for us. Or maybe we could, like today, I was at the Lone Star North Harris Student Connections Fair, and Robin gave me some books that were premiums that had, you know, that had not sold. So I put them out on the table, but Nuestra Palabra and other programs have offered books as premiums, and we might be able to come across some books that you think would be of interest to your friends, which would be premiums. Might have some CDs. I don't know how we can give music out these days because, I mean, CDs aren't the thing anymore. I always like to have CDs, still do like them. Maybe having Egberto Willis interview someone, either in English or in Spanish, would be of interest to your friends. So just some thoughts.
So in order to get those things done, Teresa, the programmers have to, I would contact them and they would have to agree to do that. And also it would have to be approved by the manager, by the general manager.
Well, I think the trick would be for Dr. Franklin to ask each one of the programmers to come up with a plan in advance of the pledge drive. What is each programmer, each show, what is their plan to reach their goal? Are they going to have a premium? So if they start working now to get their premium, maybe they approach their friend and say, this friend says, I'll give you 5 books, or I'll give you a personal interview. So they come up with some premiums, either like an
the interview
like,
or something else. Okay.
Yes. So have the programmers come, I think, you know, brainstorm about what their listeners might like. I think we've stopped, I think some programmers have stopped planning ahead for the pledge drives. And I think this is a problem at all of the stations where maybe, I think, like KPFK was relying upon Christine Blasdale to do all the fundraising for them. Whereas I think our programmers can be quite creative, and that is actually in our mission, that we are to encourage the creative juices in our community. So, you know, a little bit of craziness, a little bit of thought to what might be a fun premium is, I think, in order here.
Teresa, may I have? I have an idea. So maybe the programmers could say KPFT has not been meeting the quotas for diversity, and so each program is saying we are calling out anybody that has never that in these special in this minority communities that would like to, what would you like to listen to, or who what programmer would you like to speak to?
Well, I think what we could do, I think what we could do is
bring up diversity.
We could use our Survey Monkey, and we can send a survey out to all of the people on our email list, and we can ask for input. And people will feel good about that. We can ask, like we have a survey on our on our website right now, and I can't even access it. I don't understand the symbols. There's a little dog, and you click on the dog. There's a little cat. The cat means HD2. The dog means HD1. There's a little bird. I don't know what the bird means. It looks like a Twitter symbol. But it goes to the archives. Rather than just saying archives, they have a bird there. You know, that doesn't make sense.
That's a real problem. Yeah, you're right, on the website.
Well, that's not very friendly. There's a survey, and I can't find it. Oh, I don't know what the symbol is. I don't know, but it pulls up the survey. I think that one way to make our listenership feel appreciated is ask them questions. Which, you know, so we could send out a survey and ask them what they want. What would motivate you to give more money?
Right. But the survey would go out to members, standing members. But we're trying to acquire new members during this fund drive, this coming
fund
drive.
Right, which is the idea of getting these premiums that we're talking about.
Right.
You know, vacation. Right. In professional services, et cetera, make it so that people listening go, wow, that sounds good. I think I'll do that, you know?
Right.
Well, go ahead, Sandy.
That's the whole thing. When you're pitching on the air, when you're asking people to donate, you want them to take action. And you have to get them from that inactive state to an active state. So, for instance, if I go on the air and I say, anybody that pledges $5 is going to be eligible to win an electric guitar signed by Muddy Waters, right? You're going to get people to do that, of course, right? It's a good deal. It's attractive. So how do we dress this up and make it attractive enough to get a large enough audience to chime in with donations? That's kind of the concept here, or that is the concept here in my mind.
Right. Right, this is Susie, because
okay.
I think
you're
trying to answer my...
I have a stack going here. I have Nancy and then Bill. Nancy.
And then put me back on the stack. I have more ideas.
And Susie.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, Susie,
okay.
I got...
Thank you.
Nancy.
Okay, thank you. By the way, since 1968, from September 15th to October 15th, is considered Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate the cultures of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, and Chile. And so I think that's what we're for, right? I mean, to celebrate that, have some special programming, like music, and like it really would be nice if we could do that Zoom and develop a live. And whoever is hacking, can y'all mute? I'm sorry, you're hacking. So I would get the programmers and get them back out of the HD and onto the FM again and let them have, the problem is if they would just sprinkle a little bit of English so people who are monolinguals, you know, who only understand English could understand the topic or what they're talking about. They don't have to say everything, but just like, you know, it could be a lot of big, heated argument, and they could just say, well, we just talked about wage theft at such and such fast food restaurant. And it's usually they have those kind of problems, wage theft, or, you know, they get bumped off because the restaurants are closing. And that particular group of people is, unfortunately, those shows are really needed, and they don't have a lot of spare money. But if they were to say a little bit of English so that the English-speaking people could understand what on earth is the topic, they might get some more, donations. And I think it should be tried out. It should be tried out. Anyway, we have this until October 15th. It's supposed to be Hispanic Heritage Month. And by the way, October 11th is coming. This is Columbus Day, but it's been changed to Indigenous Peoples Day. Yeah. So KPFK is going to do from the 4 p.m. until 11 p.m. at night on the 12th, because they're going to have festivals in the street on the 11th. So on the next day, they're going to have from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. all these different groups they'll be covering. These are indigenous people. That's all these different countries, the Latin countries, not just the American Indians, but all of them, because they were on their land, you know. Okay. These are things that we're not addressing, and we could be addressing, and even in Fund Drive, we could be having a reason of relevancy. I talk too much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. You know, what you were saying, Sandy, is right. What we need to be looking for is shows that will attract listeners. And, you know, we've had a real challenge for the last year and a half. It's not anybody's fault, but, you know, we're not able to produce live shows. And I think, you know, the previous GM had some good ideas to try to replace shows that were not performing well, that didn't get either listeners or donors, replaced with something else. But a lot of the shows that were replaced, that they were replaced with, have similarly not performed well. But I just wanted to let Dr. Franklin know, a reminder, that we have not just shows produced at other Pacifica-owned stations, but we have several hundred stations in our affiliate network, some of which are producing some really excellent shows that you don't hear on mainstream media, and they're free. And, you know, if you don't already have if you're not already on the email list for that, I suggest you ask Ursula Rudenberg, for the Pacific Announce list. She's the director of our affiliates program, the Pacific Affiliates Program, to put you on the list. And there, producers of shows will send emails, you know, hey, we have a new show on this topic. Or you can just go to AudioPort, audioport.org, which is the Pacifica website for sharing this stuff. There's a lot of good programs there. And, you know, some of the particular topics that we don't have that we need, and I've heard other listeners talking about it too, are shows on science and the environment and health. And, you know, some of that relates to various communities also, because people who have lower income tend to be on the receiving end of a lot of environmental injustice. They tend not to have as good access to health care. And, you know, shows that talk about these kind of issues will be helpful. And you don't have to direct them at one particular audience, but these, we do need shows like that our schedule doesn't have on anymore. And I think that's the kind of thing that will get us listeners and also donors. It's nice to be thinking about locally produced shows for everything, but it's a real challenge when we don't have, you know, working studios. And even people that have the tech skills, it's a lot extra work to produce them at home. And there's free, good quality shows available from elsewhere that, you know, we could plug right into our program schedule really easily. And I encourage you to look at that. If you don't know how to get to that Ursula's email address, let me know. I can put you in touch with her or how to get to AudioPort. Thanks.
Thanks for your comment. As someone who's been associated in public media for about 30 years, I know my way around and I know about Pacifica and their station affiliates and so forth. I also understand and realize that there are those particular topics that the environment, social injustice, health-related issues that certainly are produced by any number of producers around the country, not unique to just Houston or Pacifica stations. But I do know the resources of Pacifica Archives and Pacifica stations, as I referenced earlier. I reached out to the general manager at the L.A. station about possible programming. As a producer, award-winning producer myself, understanding that the universe is diverse, made up of all different individuals, looking at programming from one perspective is at best myopic and one-sided in terms of looking at the program grid and looking at ways in which other programming from other producers, from other venues outside of Texas would be an added incentive to the station. I've considered that long before I got to the station, as I was looking at your program grid before I got here. So I'm very much aware of the programming options and opportunities out there, and have been looking before this meeting at those particular opportunities and possibilities for program insertions on the schedule.
Who was that just spoke?
Dr. Franklin.
Thank you. That was Dr. Franklin.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, and thank you, Dr. Franklin.
Susie, you're not, and then Teresa. Go ahead, Susie.
Okay, back to the question that I had, and I know some of you tried to answer the question, but Nancy had an idea, and so and y'all were giving me the idea, several different forms of ideas that might help, but somebody had the answer that the person that was reaching out at the last fundraiser and got 50% to 80% people. But so I'm saying, since this came up and a lot of you think it's a good idea, and Nancy says, why don't we do this for Hispanic Heritage Month in October? So for the fundraise, we could put out there that KPFT is looking for more diversity, and at this fundraiser, we're going to be, if we talk to the programmers and if they agree, we're going to be offering people to, able to speak to them and ask questions or to be interviewed with ideas or whatever. I think that would be a good way of bringing that up, and also maybe reaching some people, and all programmers would be involved, and staff and LSB in doing that, because we're working during that month, reaching out to this particular group, but most of all, just looking to diversify the programming and what the station stands for.
But with respect to interviewing, with studio, and you don't have a studio, how would the interviews be facilitated?
On the phone. I don't know, because that was not my idea. Was that you, Teresa?
Probably, yes, and I have more to add when it's my turn.
Okay, thank you.
Let me answer that directly. I did an interview today with a guy from Hawaii named Stephen Inglis. He's a musician. There are tools to do this. You have to understand how to use the tools, and you need the equipment surrounding the tools to make it sound okay. It's not the same as a studio, but it works well enough for airplay. So all things are possible there. And getting the community to speak up and getting them on the air should be the mission of our programmers as they go through and they define their shows. Not about them. It's about the people we serve. So that's possible. Okay?
Do the programmers have that software? I'm sorry. Do all the programmers have access to that software?
Yes, it's a free download, Dr. Franklin. We can go offline. I can bring you up to speed very quickly. It's not a big deal. A lot of people are using it during COVID. Okay,
so this is Susie. I assume I'm still speaking, right? And y'all are speaking to me. So can I say, or are you saying, or is Dr. Franklin going to talk to the programmers regarding this? Is that a possibility? Can it be done during this month? It may be more profitable for us, or it can be done at another month. I'm thinking if we do it this month, in October would be better because it is Spanish Heritage Month. But we could do it another time. I'm not forcing anything. I'm just saying I know there's ways to get more members, and I know that we made more money with the new members, and if we can get 50 or 80 members at each fund drive, how many have we been getting in the past?
So in the past 200.
In the past years.
200 per fund drive.
Or so. Yeah. 200 each fund drive?
But before we take a leap of faith like that, we really have to put some definition to it, Susie. Asking somebody to do just an interview with who, on what? You know, these things need to be defined.
Yes, I know.
They also have to be within the comfort zone of the person doing the interview. We have some talented people, no doubt. So I'm confident as a program that this could be done, okay?
Okay.
Is that Dr. Franklin? I'm sorry.
I believe I was. Yes, I believe I was. I was referenced.
Thank you.
I have an upcoming meeting with the programs to discuss the membership drive, the forthcoming membership drive, expectations, and just getting a feel for where they are and where I'm going and a bit about myself and talking to them one-on-one. I think a more coordinated way to reference the point that was being raised about the interviews is to basically just have a coordinated presentation by all of the programmers referencing the importance of, the time period, the importance of added diversity and so forth, and have a coordinated message during the membership drive so that it's uniform across the board and it's not just unique to just one particular area of the programming grid. It should be part
exactly.
of the overall presentation and pitch of all the programmers to talk about the importance of diversity, the importance of inclusiveness, and how all the communities that make up our community are important, and we're reaching out and we're asking for support on such a coordinated message, but emphasizing the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever, making that the focus of the initial ask, but talking, making it more inclusive is the way I will present, our message in terms of our need to continue to support our station, the importance of it, that there are various communities that that we are giving voice to, and we want to continue to enlarge those particular communities because it's important that all voices are heard and everyone who's supporting our station is representing their particular voice and their support for our station. So my particular pitch to the programs is basically how important they are and how they have been the foundation of the radio station for many years, and the sacrifices that they've made to make adjustments. And for them, I like to say their willingness to think outside the box, which means that they will take on an interview and get outside their comfort zone and be comfortable doing it, even though they may not be accustomed to doing it. They encourage them that to upgrade, think outside the box when they're producing during membership drive, because membership drives is a special time for programmers to really show their very best. And to really, really do special programming like interviews, like was suggested, maybe even accentuating something unique to have a theme. If it's Indigenous Peoples Day, doing some creative music or programming, artists, profiles, and so forth. All those things can be done under the umbrella of the membership drive, but at the same time, talking about the importance of outreach and targeting specific communities within the community, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Right. Does make sense.
Yes.
Okay, Teresa, I had you on the stack after Susan.
Yeah. Well, I had an idea. Maybe the theme of our pledge drive could be De Colores. You know, the song, De Colores, la 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 la.
Not
De
Deadbeat.
Colores. wouldn't go very well on Deadbeat, but it's about diversity. It's about diversity, and we celebrate the diversity on our airwaves. We have a wide diversity of programs. That might be a thought. I mean, I don't want to force, one premium on one show, but every show should shine, and every show should find an audience that needs to hear what they have to hear. But what I wanted to say is, clearly one of the things we need to work on is that we have no one in charge of our Facebook, no one in charge of our web page that's effective right now, and nobody consistently doing email blast. And this is one way that we can promote ourselves, and we really need to find a volunteer or somebody that can, you know, put some sort of consistent face on what we're doing here. So, and back to the ideas. We could offer to take music requests for a certain donation. We can offer gift certificates at a restaurant. We can offer personalized tours, for example. We could approach the Fine Arts Museum and get a membership at the Fine Arts Museum. I did that one time before. We could ask for a behind-the-scenes tour at the Menil. Perhaps there is an exhibit that is maybe featuring indigenous art, and maybe we could put a tour together. When we had Ray Hill's Roast, we had some, sign-ups, and we had it fit kind of with Ray since he was a recovering alcoholic. We gave a tour of the recovery center and then a lunch at the restaurant next door. And that worked out really well. And that's a very innovative program, the recovery center. So, like, if you're stopped and you're drunk and they take you to the recovery center, they'll take you back to your car after you have sobered up. And therefore, you don't lose your job and you don't get arrested, you don't end up in jail, for example. That was a really interesting tour of that facility. We also had a tour with the public defender. And there are packages that might be very interesting tours that would fit, especially if there is a Hispanic art exhibit, for example, or pieces of art by a Hispanic artist. Of course, we'd have to have it donated, but those are just a few things that might fit. I just think that our programmers need to give some serious thought as to what might be a good premium, very selectively, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground. I think one thing that resonates here is if we can collect items of value for auction on the air, on the website, we're not going to go backwards. We will be moving forward. So if that's possible for the folks on this call to consider that, maybe reaching out, maybe doing a little soul searching, and searching through the attic since we don't have basements, and see what we can come up with for this drive right now coming up. We only have one week and a couple days. So it would be good if we could get that moving.
Are you talking about items for an auction or items as premiums?
A silent auction or any kind of auction.
Well, it could be a buy it now type of thing that we post on the website, or it could be on the air. It could be announced on the air to direct people to the website. You know, this is what we have at our disposal. When I sent out the agenda, I talked about our native strengths. That's exactly what I mean by that. We have a website that gets decent traffic. We do have listeners out there, more than we know, more than our membership would indicate. And if we do it right, we should be able to be successful in a modest way here. We're not asking for a lot of money, although it seems a lot of money. In today's terms, it's really not. We're trying to raise a couple of $100,000 from a listening audience that is potentially seven figures. Potentially. It isn't seven figures now, but potentially it could be. So,
Bill for the sack.
I'm one to think that
Nancy for the stack.
This is all possible. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, okay, just to get back around to, you know, if we're going to have preemptions for something like Indigenous Peoples Day or any other special preemptions, one thing we haven't always done real well is to let people know in advance, because if people just discover, they turn on what they think is their favorite program and something else is on, no matter how good we think it is, they may be pissed off. They may be disappointed, may just turn it off immediately without checking to see what it is. So what we need to do is get people to look forward to it and anticipate the special that they'll want to tune into. And if they don't normally tune in at that time. And we can do that with various promos on air and also our email list. We might pick up some new people or people who we've lost, you know, during the pandemic and all the problems we had last year with, you know, technical problems and old repeat shows and stuff like that. So I think we need to, you know, look forward to make people look forward to whatever the specials are going to be, whenever they are, and also combine it with fundraising and point out that, you know, this is stuff you don't get to hear on other stations. Please help us pay for our expenses. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Yep, that's a good point. Website. We really need to get that working.
Yeah, that too.
But the bottleneck that we have right now is who's going to solicit these items from our listeners and from our programmers? When are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? Because if we're not going to have a meeting with the programmers for another 10 days, too late. If we're not going to send an email blast out for another 10 days, too late. Same way with, you know, putting it on the web page. So who's going to make sure that we ask the programmers and we give them a deadline so they're motivated to do something right away? Who sends out an email blast? Who puts it on the website?
Well,
at
it
least
wasn't,
for this
it wasn't,
buy it now thing.
Yeah. It wasn't something that I saw coming in terms of this particular upcoming meeting with the program. To address the point, if we're talking about just making the presentation that this is important, Indigenous Peoples Month, that could be done individually by the program hosts. All of the programmers can be provided with information that this is part of when you do your mic break, when you open the mic, this is part of what we want you to say. It can be part of the pitch pre-presentation. So that wouldn't require any type of email blast. It would be simply a matter of just informing programmers that this is part of their pitch break. This is what we want them to say during that part of the membership drive, during the month of October and the membership drive. That would basically have us work smarter and not harder in terms of having not identified anyone at this time who can do the email blast and so forth. So that's how I view it in terms of being efficient with the resources that we currently have available to us. It would make sense to me to have the scripted information presented to the programs and have them to make that particular presentation in addition to their pitch and the telephone number and so forth during the membership drive on each of the programmer shifts.
What are we going to ask our programmers to do in advance of the pledge drive?
We're running a spot about the membership. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
What are we going to ask the programmers to do in advance of the membership drive? Is that the question?
Right, right. Because, I mean, I'm planning a vacation, and my husband started planning that vacation to make it special a month ago. If we don't have them do any preparation or give any advance thought as to how they can appeal to the listeners, then it's going to fail. We can't just give them a script and wait until October 3rd and then they read the script, because nobody is anticipating how special this will be. They won't even tune in, maybe. In fact, they might not tune in at all if they hear it's a pledge drive. So I'm just thinking we need to have
promotion.
Promotion. We need to promote it on our Facebook page. We need to say, oh, so-and-so is going to have some, a premium of, you know, a backstage tour of the Fine Arts Museum to see the, you know, the Velazquez exhibit or something like that. And so-and-so has, you know, has tickets that you can buy for personal tap dance lessons or whatever. So I think that we need to kind of promote the pledge drive, and each programmer needs to approach their 10 circle of friends people and say, hey, I need for you to be a patron to my show. So I'd like to know whether you would pledge $100 to my show in advance. So when the first time I start, I say, hey, I've got $1,000 that people will donate to the show if I can raise $500. So have that challenge money in advance.
With respect to your statement, I'm not as pessimistic as you. I'm pretty optimistic that that the programmers will have a message to present. As a matter of fact, I had a meeting with Robin. I don't know if she's on the call today. When we do meet with the programmers, Robin will speak with them about individual goals that we've set for the membership drive for their particular shows specifically. I don't know if at this particular point in time, what programmers have, what premiums, if any, they've secured for their program. But I do know that when we do speak with the programmer, we will be able to ask them to set aside. We have targeted specific goals for them, for their shows, and folding into their particular this presentation. With programmers, we can then ask them to insert a statement, and this meeting hopefully will happen Saturday, so we are about a week out, and programmers are very good at ad-libbing and putting information into their program. So in terms of having them to make an additional announcement about a special period in October, they can do that. We're running the membership spot on our airwaves, rotated. Dakota is putting the spot in today. Robin will put the announcement on the web page, if not presently, very shortly. So those are the avenues that are available to us at this particular point in time, working smarter. It's very easy to say all the things that we need, and I wouldn't disagree with you. But it's easy to point these things out because we don't have individuals at this particular point, 4 weeks into the job, at this particular point in time, we don't have those individuals in place. When we have those individuals, volunteers in place, then I think it'll be easier to achieve some of the obvious oversights that are being pointed out presently. But in terms of the programmers being able to ad-lib and include information into their presentation about whatever special month October is, they'll be able to do that in addition to pitch their particular programming and ask members, listeners, to help them achieve their goals.
This is Nancy. Can I be on the stack?
Yes, Nancy, I got you. Thank you. You are the stack, Nancy. Go ahead.
Yes. Dr. Franklin, well, thank you for getting some recorded messages from Amy Goodman, but I really think we need her live. I mean, she's been pitching live at the other stations, as usual, but not at KPFT for a whole year and a half. We used to have her for 1 hour, sometimes 1.5 hour. And I think we really need her live. I mean, if there's any way that Otis can do it, I mean, he's doing the execution watches live, and that's about the only programming we have that is live besides Democracy Now! And Amy used to pitch for an hour to an hour and a half live at KPFT. If Otis can get her on in some way, like he does with the Execution Watch, it's worthwhile having her. It really would, I think, excite our audience because we haven't heard her voice live in a long, long time, since March of last year. And, yeah, if we can start doing more, we can't do a whole lot on Otis because he's... he has to take care of the rest of the four stations' problems, but he was able to do that Zoom thing with the candidates, and the most part it was clear and it was fine. It's just when all these other different phones, and if people call in twice, then you're going to have echoing, and that's what we had on there. Anyway, that's what I just wanted to tell
Teresa
you.
Teresa for the stack.
All right, hang on. It's 6:30, actually 6:40, and this meeting was supposed to end about 10 minutes ago. It's a very good discussion. I appreciate everybody chiming in and participating so heartily. What I suggest we do is continue our discussion, plan another meeting. I know Fun Drive's coming down really quick. Teresa, mm-hmm. you made an excellent point. But there's only going to be only so much we can do. And again, if each of us can go out and see if we can find some art, find some restaurant that might donate something that we can put up on the air and be successful with, please go ahead and do that. It would help tremendously. And then perhaps we can get a culture to where we get our website working for us, we get our programmers working in coordination, and we walk away with the funds we need to operate the station and fulfill some of the things that we're all asking for. Do we want to continue right now? Let me get a sense from
Well, I have a meeting. I have a National Finance Committee meeting in 45 minutes.
I need to go.
I'll have to leave this meeting.
Right. And we're taxing our staff here as well. So why don't we go ahead and adjourn on this meeting, and we'll go ahead and we'll get another one planned. We'll continue our discussion.
Do you want to try to do it in a week? Do you want to try to for only those people that are interested to meet next week?
Fine with me. Anybody else have anything to say about that?
Is this going to be a board development meeting or a finance meeting? Our development meeting is October 5th, I believe, unless we want to change the date.
We can make it a finance. It's the same group. Like,
next week, I also have a finance committee meeting. We don't have any KPFT meetings.
October
Tuesday,
5th with development.
I know. I'm talking about next Tuesday. Same time.
Okay.
If we want to, maybe we can collaborate this between finance and development, and just maybe take, and maybe we can see what we can get done between now and next Tuesday. So we're all working on something between now and next Tuesday. If we want to do the Circle of Friends thing, we need to put a date on it. I mean, we need to close here. You know, got to be a close.
Well, the Fun Drive starts in 5 days. Also, remember. That's pretty soon.
I think we're better.
No, not 5 days. Not 5 days.
Oh, excuse me. That's a week and 5 days. Yeah, okay. Right, okay, sorry.
Well, let's meet next week before the Fun Drive, okay?
Okay, and what should we do between now and next week for each of us on this call? And I'll send an email out to the LSB and give them an assignment, unless you want to
each of us to, yeah, for each of us to go out and approach a circle of friends, I love the term, and be able to procure, if you will, items for our fund drive, things of value, things that will fetch donations.
For something like $200 worth or $300 worth, something like that, instead of $10.
Right, and with a minimum value of $200, okay?
Okay.
Why don't we just add that on there so there is something stated there.
And is somebody going to contact Robin about where to store the stuff? And who's going to...
No, don't store. Just took a picture and put it on the website.
You
got to think through the logistics.
Bill, we're not going to take all the details right now. Let's just leave that where it is, and we will tackle that gorilla when we meet him. Okay?
Okay, so between now and next Tuesday, we're trying to have at least each of us and the LSB to approach a circle of friends to see if they could either donate money as a patron to the station, or item of $200 value that could either be put in some sort of online auction or as a premium.
Correct.
Can we call this a fundraising committee instead of saying finance or development? Let's just call it a fundraising committee.
Let's keep it simple, okay? If we want to expand that past the definition, it's fine. It's just a name, Nancy. We don't have to worry about
names. No, but
I'm on KPFT. I am on KPFT right now, KPFTX right now. I'm going to schedule a finance committee for 5 o'clock next Tuesday, the 28th, okay?
Wonderful.
I think you better call it development.
I don't care what you call it until it gets done.
Nancy, we're not gonna argue over definitions. Just leave it like it is. Keep it simple. Okay? Thank you.
Marquisha comes to it or what?
In this case,
she's invited if she thinks she has something to contribute or if she wants to rein us in, she's welcome to join us.
Right. And I would encourage paid staff to attend.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody. It's been a productive afternoon. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Okay.
Thank you all.
We'll see you at the next meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Franklin.
Very welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye, all.
Take care. Bye-bye.